You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of Scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One who has come in order to be our friend. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, enemies, how many of you have had an enemy? Yeah, yeah. How many of you have never had an enemy? All right. So a lot of you are giving me those pained looks of like, I don't know. Am I allowed to say that they're an enemy? Honestly, look at it this way. Jesus said that you should love your enemies. And I don't think Jesus would tell us to love our enemy if he didn't expect us to have a few. That there's kind of that thing that shows up in a sinful world. And the thing that shows up in a sinful world is that, well, we're going to have enemies. We're going to have people maybe that we disagree with. Maybe it's even a little bit more than that. Maybe we really just kind of hate their guts. So there's kind of that feeling in us where this person makes us angry. This person makes us want to defend ourselves, perhaps. This person is our enemy. And there's kind of an honesty in being able to say, oh, yeah, maybe I do have an enemy. Or maybe at least I used to have an enemy. I'm definitely in that latter case, if not in the present enemy stage. I can think back to an enemy that I had when I was a kid. His name was Ronnie. And Ronnie was not a nice guy. Ronnie, I knew him from school. He was a little bit older than me. And Ronnie, he just assumed that I had more money than what I actually did. And because of that, Ronnie said, I need some money. And at first, it kind of started off as kind of like, oh, well, you need some money. I'm happy to provide you with a little bit of money if you actually need this. Well, it turned into something more than that. Turned into this like bullying relationship where all of a sudden it was like, hey, Jay, give me the money. And I sort of got to this point where I was actively being bullied. And it's kind of shameful to say that, but that's where I was. And I was conflicted in that moment because in that moment I kind of had this this feeling of, I don't like Ronnie. There's a lot to Ronnie that I don't care for. And yet I was still sort of actively being bullied. And because of that, I really didn't like him all the more because there was active kind of violence that was being threatened against me. There was active, terrible things that were in the midst of that relationship that we had with one another. And I kind of said, oh, this is a bad place to be. I don't like having an enemy, at least like this, an enemy that at least when I looked at the situation, I felt I was a little bit powerless when it came to that enemy. Ronnie seemed like he had his fighting skills together. I don't know what told me that really at the time, but I kind of thought to myself, well, if I go up against Ronnie, things are not going to turn out so well for me. And maybe you've had that kind of experience of having an enemy, having somebody who was against you. Maybe they were bullying you. Maybe they were doing something else to you. But we have an understanding of what it feels like to kind of be in that victimized state, what it feels like to be in that situation where there's something that's going on in our lives that isn't right. And that doesn't necessarily mean that it's always somebody who's bigger and stronger than us. It can just be somebody who is taking advantage of us, somebody who is sort of psychologically manipulating us, perhaps, somebody who is doing all sorts of evil against us. And we start to think about who that person is, and we start to think, yeah, that person is my enemy. And as you think about that, you start to think through, okay, well, what's going on in the midst of these readings today? The midst of these readings where you have a lot of friends and enemies and a lot of kind of confusion about which is which. So we start off with that reading, that kind of long and spliced together reading that is our Old Testament reading, where you have the children of Israel, and they're looking back to the good old days when everything was good in where? Oh yeah, Egypt. The place where they just got done being bullied. The place where they just got done being slaves. They're looking back to it and they're like, well, yeah, things were bad, but do you remember the fish? The cucumbers and the leeks. Oh, and it's kind of like you're like, oh, did you guys totally forget who the Egyptians were to you? And so there's this kind of weird Stockholm syndrome thing that's happening there, where they don't actually remember who their enemy is. And then out of that, you have Moses going to God, and Moses going, can you get me out of here or kill me? One of the two, because I don't want to deal with these people anymore. And so even Moses is looking at his own people and he's like, they're kind of my enemy. I don't want to be near them anymore. And then you have this New Testament reading out of the gospel. We have this weird moment where the disciples go up to Jesus and they're like, hey, Jesus, we saw somebody. He was casting out demons in your name. And we told him to stop it. He's a bad boy and he shouldn't do that anymore. And Jesus is like, what? What are you doing? Because there's a confusion there about who your enemy is, about who the real enemy is. Because as the story with Ronnie and I continued on, there was kind of a moment of clarity that I was able to have as a kid. I'm actually thankful for this story in my life, because it showed me something early on. And that is that one day, that day finally came where the after-school special finally kicked in. And I had given Ronnie more than enough money to continue doing what he was doing. And I finally said, that's it. There's no more. Not doing this. And amazingly enough, as I was bracing to be hit, nothing happened. He got a little ticked off, and then he just kind of marched away. Never asked or demanded money from me again. There's this weird moment of going, oh, that was it. And just like the after-school special said it would be, that's what happened. I just stood up to him, and I said, no more, and poof. It's like he disappeared out of my life. And as I kept on reflecting on that, I started to go, oh, well, Ronnie wasn't really my enemy. My enemy was me. My enemy was me not pulling up a self in order to say to Ronnie, hey, you jerk, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I think that's where we kind of land sometimes as Christians. You know, we kind of understand what Jesus is saying as he kind of gets deeper into things with his disciples. You know, Jesus says, hey, you know what? Your enemy, it's probably not those other guys who are doing miracles in my name. Your enemy is maybe somebody who lives closer to home. Maybe you should take a look at the next things that Jesus is saying. Your enemy is the person who is causing you to sin. And your enemy is your sins themselves. You know, Jesus is saying, hey, look at yourself. You know, it's better for you to enter into heaven than to enter into heaven with one hand than with two. One foot than with two. One eye than with two, because if your own body is going to be your enemy, it's better to leave your enemy behind. So there's two things I think that we start to think when we hear Jesus say that. The first thing is we recognize Jesus is talking in that reading that there are other people who can lead us into sin. And he's saying about those people, it would be better for them to have a millstone hung around their neck and thrown into the ocean. Now, this is very graphic language for Jesus to say. I mean, if you think about how inherently violent that is, and the fact that in all of sort of Near Eastern literature, you don't have this picture coming up, that Jesus, it seems, have been thinking long and hard about what the appropriate punishment for this should be, and what he's come up with is this. I mean, it's like a mob hit. It's just the other side of you, not cement shoes, but cement necklace. And he say it's better for you to have that happen if you're going to be somebody who's tempting somebody else into sin. And so Jesus does recognize that there are other people who cause us to sin. But he's also pointing out that, well, there's also something in us that causes us to sin. And he spends far much more time on that. Far much more time going, oh, but there's something in you. There's something in you that is the enemy. Something in you that you would be better off cutting off appendages than to continue to live with. And we go, oof, yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm my own worst enemy so much of the time. I fall into temptation after temptation. I do all of these bad things. And we get to this point where we start to see ourselves as the enemy of God. And at some level, that's completely correct. And that's where we start off. But it's important, I think, to not let that be your entire narrative. Because if that's your entire narrative, if your entire narrative says that I am my own worst enemy and I am God's worst enemy, then you are going to start to like live that out in your life. You're just going to start going, well, I'm a terrible person, and so what do terrible people do? Well, I do terrible things because that's who I am. And if I need to, then when we get to the end of my life, I'm just going to chop off my arm. And that's not what Jesus is necessarily talking about here. He's painting us this picture so that there's this understanding in us of what the enemy can do. But I think we need to look a little bit deeper into what the enemy is. Because Jesus knew what he had come for. Jesus knew that what he had come for is to die for you. To be nailed to a cross for you. So that you could live in a way where you are no longer an enemy of God. Not because you're sinless, but because your sin has been worked out. Because your sin has been put to death on that cross. And so you're not the enemy of God. You are God's friend. You are God's child. You are Jesus's sibling. You are brought into a holy experience of what God has for you despite the stuff that is broken in your life. The enemy is sin. And the enemy is put to death on the cross so that you can be the friend of God. So that you can live in a way that is free of those sins that you've committed, free of those things that you know should lead you to a place where on the last day, you know, God the Father is up there. He's saying, well, you've got a choice. You can cut everything off and come in, or you can be thrown into hell. And you go, I don't know. But Jesus has come to restore you so that on the day of resurrection, on the day where he comes back in order to judge the world, what he's going to be saying to you is not, well, you know, you've got to cut off that pinky finger because you know what you did with it. But rather, he's going to say, not only am I inviting you into this resurrection, I'm giving you a body that is going to be perfected. Not a body that's missing anything, but a body that is, it has more to it, that's designed for eternity. Because Jesus understands who the enemy is. And you're not it. Your sin is. And we need to be clear about that. As we walk out of these doors into a world that needs some people that are going to live in such a way that it points to a God who has made us his friend, not his enemy. Sure, we can go out there and sort of false humility sometimes and be like, oh, I'm the worst sinner ever. And sure, there's maybe a sense in which that's true. But I think there's another thing that we can be saying to our friends and to our neighbors. And that is that I am befriended by a God who loves me, who sent his son so that I could be his friend, who sent his son so that my enemy could be vanquished. Simply. Just by saying some words, just like I did to Ronnie. That your enemy is vanquished by saying the simple words that you are forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That you are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That you come to this altar in order to experience the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That you are a friend of God. So as you walk out into this world, recognize that you are battling against your enemy, which is sin. But you have Christ there to battle it for you and with you and to forgive you so that one day you will rise again, being able to say to God the Father himself, I am your friend because of what Jesus did for me. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.